Welcome to Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love. Spoken of by many as one of the greatest living masters of the backflower remedies, he has the oldest ongoing classes with the remedies in the world, 40 years, and has worked with over 100,000 people. He will be showing us how to recognize and heal our shadow side and the emotional baggage we all carry, using the advanced protocols he has developed with the Love Healing System. To learn more, please visit his website at www.drericlove.com for more information. Now, here is our host, Dr. Eric Love.
God bless us all here, and welcome to Healing the Heart. This is Dr. Eric Love. And I'd like to begin with a prayer for tonight's class. And Lord, bless this group tonight, that we can tune into your grace and your love and your guidance, and show us the deeper secrets of the healing art, the deep secrets that have been hidden to humanity for so long. Help us to learn those secrets and learn about how to heal our own self. Through his divine grace. Amen. And for the wonderful FDA, this show is not meant to treat, cure, or diagnose disease. If you've got a medical problem, go and see your medical doctor. Or if you're in those special states, go and see the primary care physician called the naturopath. We are in the beginning of a great awakening, a great enlightenment. Thomas Jefferson referred to himself and the men around him, men and women around him, as the men of the enlightenment. We're in the middle of the beginning of the great awakening. I call it the great enlightenment. We're moving into the age of enlightenment, where we're going to be able to understand things that people could not understand before. But you can't take this baggage with you, the baggage that you're carrying, into the Great Awakening. You're going to need to resolve this baggage, otherwise it's going to weigh on you, and you won't be able to enjoy the splendor and the wonder of the Great Awakening that we're moving into. You're going to need to resolve your baggage. You're going to need to get rid of it and dump it and handle it and heal it, rectify and resolve it. Otherwise, it's going to hold you back. I recommend each person gets my book called The Art of Healing, 640 pages, and my other book called Physician, Heal Thyself. These two books I wrote to show you the system that I'm teaching, the Love Healing System. I'm going to show you how to use the remedies and how to understand the healing process. People love that book. It works really good. It's slow read. It's very deep. It's an e-book. $35 for both of those. Send me an email. Give me a call. I'll send them to you. Email medicinewind.11@gmail.com. medicinewind.11@gmail.com. I'll give it out later too. Telephone number 406-585-0774. The system is collapsing. It's because we're going through the Galactic Center 2012-2013. It's going to continue. Everything's going to collapse. But we're going up. We're moving into the Great Awakening, the Age of Enlightenment. And the purpose, the reason that all of the collapsing is happening, is because God wants to wake people up, and because God wants people to go back to him. And so he's using the collapsing as a way to wake people up. If you're working with the higher power, and you're working with God as you see God, you're not going to be tensed by all this. It's just a wake-up call for people to know that God is the one who rules the universe. My program is to show you how to set up a healing process within yourself, a healing program within your own self, on the inner self. It's also how I teach you how to help to heal other people. But primarily, number one, you have to learn healing on yourself. I teach you Bakrin flowers, but the flower essences, I teach you the advanced protocols that no one knows. It took me 40 years to figure those things out. Where you're able to do a deep constitutional transformation on yourself. Where you're able to heal your shadow side, the inner child material in your inner self, and work on the underworld ghost river that you carry. I'll talk more about all that stuff. The very deep work. Remember, do deeper work than the shallow superficial work most people do with bark flowers. I teach you the wonderful SAF system, which is about as deep you can go. And Louise Hay said that it was the most powerful system of therapy. These are her words on the planet. I teach you how to do that. Teach the wonderful alignment technique. Puts all the bones into a complete spinal alignment. You just muscle, chest, feet, and hold a few points in the forehead, behind the head, and then all the bones of the spine go into a complete spinal alignment. I helped you to, I encourage you to develop a deeper relationship with God, because everything is based on the spiritual dimension. But you don't have the spiritual dimension, you're not going anywhere. And we give a certified nutrition consultant, I teach you. A wonderful program by Dr. Lorraine Day and one other system of diet that works with healing the physical body. So we give a certified homeopath in my school, the Academy of Healing, formerly called the International Association of Homeopathy. We give a certified homeopath, certified nutrition consultant, certified herbalist, and homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals. It's a one-year program. I sit beside you, hold your hand for a year, fly with you in the airplane for a year. By the end of the year, you know how to fly the plane yourself. We talk an hour a week by telephone. Couldn't have done that a long time ago, like 15 years ago, because phones were too expensive. Now they're not very expensive at all. You got Skype. So I can sit beside you and teach you. It's a true apprenticeship. And that's my commercial, my certification program. Any of you that are interested, you're certainly welcome. My email address, you can write me, medicinewind, like wind in the trees, medicinewind.11@gmail.com, 406-585-0774. Check out my website, drericlove.com. Now, the dark night of the soul I want to talk about briefly. It happens to some people. I was talking to a young lady yesterday. She was in the dark night of the soul. And she's beginning to understand what it is. God gives it to us sometimes. In the words of Anya, Blessed Anya from the City of London, she says, sometimes we have to die because we need to be reborn. The dark night of the soul is when God gives the most excruciating pain known to man, to you. And nobody wants to be in it, but it's karma from past lives. Sometimes you have to go into it. God has some lessons for you, something you need to learn. The purpose is to heal our spiritual defects, and it's a crash course in the healing of our spiritual defects. Great pain is crash course in healing our spiritual defects. Like Bach wrote, the primary diseases of mankind are such things as pride, cruelty, hatred, ignorance, instability, selfishness, and greed. And I would also put in arrogance and ego. Great pain, great suffering is God's way of giving us a crash program to learn how to heal these deep spiritual issues. What I do in my training is show you how to understand your pain and how to go ahead and make the changes that you need to make in order to heal your pain and rectify and resolve your pain through learning the lessons that God is trying to teach you. I was in the dark night of the soul for 7 years. I don't really know one person had more emotional pain than I had during that time. During that time that God showed me this system, because I told God, I said, look, I don't want to get any physical disease. I don't want to suffer. Please show me how to get through this, because I'd been the homeopath for many years by that time. I said, I'm willing to learn. Show me how to heal this pain. Suffering. And that's where God began to show me. And God told me that, just listen. Pay real close attention and do what I tell you to do. I said, okay, Bob. Then he showed me how to use the box in a different way, showed me how to use the SAF in a totally different way, showed me how to use diet in a totally different way, showed me how to process my own baggage and garbage and junk and crap that were coming on me from a previous life that were causing me such great pain. And I had one astrologer tell me, she said, I can't believe it. She said, it's like you flew right over the top of all this stuff, like you're a yogi, just flying over the top of it, which is true. I didn't get sick. I learned. And that's where I learned this program. That's what I teach you, is how to heal your pain and suffering and the pain and suffering of the people around you that you care for. Now, how healing works. First thing is the spiritual. Because if you don't do the spiritual work, you're not going to be able to listen to the guidance of your own soul. And all the healing of the emotional spiritual conflict within you, the healing of that, the instructions come from your own soul as to how to heal that. So you have to be able to really learn to listen to the guidance and direction and instruction of your own soul. Harry Truman said, what the hell am I to do? I'll know when the time comes, because God Almighty will guide me. Healing, you must be guided by God Almighty. Listen, if the general is your friend, the general's going to help you to understand about the battle. If the general's not your friend, you're going to be an officer who's just spinning the wheels during the battle. You want to be able to get the messages from your own soul to guide you and instruct you in the pathway of the healing process. So that's number one about how healing works. It's spiritual. And in my course, I encourage you to move into a closer relationship with your own soul, with the higher power, with God. I had a graduate who was living with a man who had raped her daughter, molested her daughter, and raped her. No, she hadn't raped her daughter. He raped her on a regular basis, the wife. And he molested the daughter. She didn't know about the daughter, but she stayed with him and stayed with him. It was her karma to do that. One day she told me, one day she went to go pee, and when she peed, she looked down and she saw blood coming out in her urine. And she said, if I stay with this man, I'm going to get a disease. So she, about 3 days later, she slipped out in the middle of the night and disappeared. He never knew where she was for a couple of years. And she's still no longer with him. You want to be able to listen to the secret language of suffering, disease, emotional pain, and emotional suffering. It's a secret language. Alice Miller, who wrote the book called The Body Never Lies, and all of you guys that are listening to me tonight, I want you to go buy my book. You can get it through Amazon at a discount. The Body Never Lies. One of the main books of my training program, certification program. She wrote, one of her most vital functions is an ability to listen to the true story of our own lives. Accordingly, the central issue of this book is the conflict between the things we feel, the things our body registers, because we may be saying, oh, everything's fine, everything's fine, but the body is registering blood in the urine. The conflict between the things we feel, the things our body registers, and the things we think we ought to feel, so as to comply with the moral norms and standards we have internalized at very young age, so as to conform and do what we're supposed to do. We need to learn to listen to our body. I'd like for everyone to go back to our book. It's called The Body Never Lies, Alice Moore. Disease and suffering originate in the mind. Disease is caused from the emotional. It's a new concept. I'm sharing that with you. It's the truth. And just sit with it, and you're going to realize more and more every day, every hour, that this is the truth. In the age of awakening, in the age of enlightenment. I can say this, and you're going to pick it up. Disease is caused from the emotional. Disease and suffering originates in the mind. Blessed Anya from the city of London said, we don't have problems. We have some lessons from heaven. Natural law. So get your pen and write these things down. Maybe there are about four or five natural laws that are governing the healing and the disease process, disease-making process. Natural law is a first one. Something you are doing is bringing this condition or situation on you. So if you got a situation you don't like, if you've got problems you don't like, if you've got disease you don't like or whatever, there's something inside of you that is bringing this to you. That's the first sequence of natural law. The second natural law, we have not to work on conditions, situations. We need only to work on ourselves, in our own mind, in our own inner self and emotions. Then as we heal the patterns and the blueprints and the programs inside of us, then the outer will be a mathematical reflection of what we carry in our mind. We have not to work on conditions. We have only to work on ourselves. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now here's another natural law. This is from Joe Skonda, who developed the SAF system. Every charge you take in must be discharged. Every charge you take in must be discharged. The charge would be a pressure, a trauma, a hurt, an upset. Somebody says something to you or whatever. But it's an electric charge, and you can feel it in your heart. And every time you take in a charge, it must be discharged, or it's going to discharge in you being a gambling addict, a pot addict, a sex addict, a work addict, a drug addict. You're going to have migraines, you're going to have body pain, you're going to have disease. It's got to go somewhere. Disease comes from the emotional, from our hatred, our animosities, our worries, our fears, our traumas, our anxieties, and such like. Dr. Bach wrote, this system of healing, which has been divinely revealed unto us, shows that it is our fears, our cares, our anxieties, and such like that open the path to the invasion of illness. And I want you to get this book. You can get it for free. The book is called The 12 Healers and Other Remedies. Just Google that. You can download it as a PDF for free. The 12 Healers and Other Remedies, and also Heal Thyself. Both of those books are the only two books that Dr. Bach left us. He burned all of his other books. He didn't want people to see the unfinished product. He wanted us to see what his final research was. These two books, Heal Thyself please, if you listen to this broadcast, download those two books. I'm going to introduce you to the system. Let me continue reading from the 12 healers. Thus, by treating our fears, our cares, our worries, and so on, we not only free ourselves from our illness, but the herbs given unto us by the grace of the Creator of all, in addition, take away our fears and worries and leave us happier and better than ourselves. Now, let me say, the truth is remedies don't take away anything. They don't do anything. The truth is that Dr. Friend, who's a psychiatrist, studies with me. She said the action of the remedies is to stimulate and catalyze you to go ahead and process some issues, work through some issues. So what's going on here, the meat of the matter, is that you process on the inner self and work through the baggage and the garbage and the junk and the crap and the issues and the stuff and the stinky, poopy stuff that you carry on the inside of yourself that's causing you problems. Dr. Friend said they just stimulate you to go ahead and work on these issues. All right, next natural law. Write this down. In this age of darkness, God has selected. Now, this is the age of darkness going back as far as we know, Alexander the Great. Even Babylon, ancient Egypt. God has selected physical disease and pain as a way for the soul to make a correction, to wake up call. Disease is just a wake up call. That we need to change something. Our soul is telling us we need to change something about ourselves. So the lady went to go pee, and blood came out. And she said, I must leave this man, or I'm going to get a serious disease. Disease, pain. And my favorite story of pain is a lady that told me, Dr. Love, I don't know why I have the pain, but in a month and a half of her processing the issues on the inner self, she told me that her husband was sucking her in his taking her power and dumping his negative energy on her. And she told me that's where her pain's coming from. She went and told her husband, and he told him that she wanted him to quit doing it. And he said, honey, I'm so sorry. And he made the correction. She made the correction. She became assertive, drew her boundaries, and spoke her truth. And he stopped it. Within 2 months, all her pain was completely gone. Hey, let me stop and read you a poem here. This is a poem I wrote for Sandy. And Sandy is listening. God bless you, New York. This was for her birthday, for the birthday dinner. Through God's grace, the hours spin, and time moves on. Yet we are still here, holding one another's hands. She was with her family there. Holding one another's hands, loving each other dearly, resting in our heart of love, supporting, caring, nurturing our loved ones through the trials and tests of life. Bless this humble family as we eat tonight, our birthday girl, and all the love that flows between our hearts tonight. May we ever remember that it is through His grace and His love that we are sustained. We flourish and have our very breath in His holy name. Amen. So the natural law, the last natural law we went into, is that in this age of darkness, the soul has chosen to use physical disease. These poems help us get into the emotional where we feel. And it's easy to get spin off into our head where we're thinking and we're not feeling. That the soul uses physical disease in order to get our attention that there's something inside of us that we need to change. Sometimes those things are layered on pretty thick. There's a lot of stuff that needs to change. We've been ignoring my spiritual self for so long. I had a woman in Cottonwood, and the doctor would come in choose a massage therapist. And she'd open up the door, and even though she had someone on the table, the doctor would say something and cut her down, put her down, almost every day, every other day. And this had been going on for many years, like 5 years, 7 years. And we started working, giving her back flowers. We started doing SAF. And one day she called me and said, I can't believe it. She said, what? I said, what? She said, the doctor is coming in now. And she's being real nice to me. She's kissing up to me and wanting to take me out to lunch and take me out to dinner. She's wanting me to be her friend. She never says anything to cut me down, put me down anymore. Why do you think that is? She said, I said, well, that's because you did the inner healing on the inner side of yourself, and you took care of the patterns and the baggage and the garbage inside yourself, the blueprint, and you no longer have a big target on you. And when she comes in, she's looking up to you instead of looking down on you because you did the inner healing on the inner side. She said, well, I think it's pretty amazing because I never set out to talk to her. I never put any energy in trying to work it out with her. I said, yeah, well, it's because you changed on the inside of yourself. And then now her conditions changed. Now, that's how healing works. We have not to work on conditions. We have to work on the inner self. There's one more natural law. We need to get into alignment with the Tao, spelled T-A-O. It's a Chinese word for God's plan, the divine plan. Write that down. Get into alignment with the divine plan, the Tao, God's will. In ancient Egypt, they called it Ma'ot, Ma'at, divine order. Everything in ancient Egypt was built around them seeking divine order. When you have the divine order and you're in alignment with the Tao, you don't have to push so hard. You don't have to struggle so hard. You're not coming up and everything being so blocked. Everything is an effort because you're with the flow, the grand flow of your life. It is the Tao or God's plan. A lot of people talk about it. Very few people know about it. When you go into the healing process and you go through the healing process inside yourself, you will turn into the Tao. And as you turn into the Tao, God will speak to you. Your soul will speak to you through dreams, through books, through people, more directly, and show you and teach you what it is you need to learn and how you need to change. The Tao is the effortless and the easy way. So this natural law is that in order to heal, you need to flow into the Tao and learn about the Tao. How you do that? Well, you learn about that through talking to God and asking God what his will is and throwing up your hands and say, okay, your will, not mine. I'll do whatever you want. You just show me what you want and flow into that and give us the pushing and the trying and the struggling and having everything your way. Having everything your way. Not my way, but thy way. Oh, Lord. How the remedies work. The chemist goes in the field in the early morning sunshine, picks the flower essences in the sun, and they float in a bowl of spring water for about 6 hours. Then they use twigs from the actual plant and lift the flowers out. During that time, the flowers are impregnated through the sun. The water is impregnated with the energy of the flowers. They mix that, take that out eventually, about 6 hours, no shadows over it, and mix it with brandy 50-50. That's called the mother tincture. Then at Nelson Bach, where they have the pharmaceutical house, they use 4 of those drops from the mother tincture into a 20 milliliter bottle that you buy at the store. When you make a remedy, you put in 2 drops from the mother tincture. Like I say, you're using Star of Bethlehem, best remedy in the world for grief and trauma and sorrow. Anybody who's been in a trauma, you want to give them some Star of Bethlehem. And it also works on the old traumas from the childhood, the inner child stuff. We'll talk about Star in a minute. But say you buy a bottle of Star. On Amazon, it's going to cost you like $12, $15. And then You just type in Star of Bethlehem, and you can order that one, or order whatever remedies you want to use. You get a 1 ounce dropper bottle, you put in spring water in there, and then you put in two drops of the Star of Bethlehem. And you can make about 300 bottles from that one stock bottle that you make. 300 dosage bottles, you can give them to 300 people or make them 300 times for yourself. And then from that, you take four tiny drops four times a day. So you're taking a minute dosage of a non-poisonous homeopathic remedy. And each remedy has a vibrational electromagnetic frequency, vibrational oscillating frequency that vibrates with your consciousness. And it vibrates in the virtue that you don't have. Like if you don't have confidence and you take the remedy large, it actually vibrates. I can't get through you and tell you how you can heal your lack of confidence. I could talk till I'm blue in the face, give classes every day for a month, and you still wouldn't get it. But if I give you the larch remedy, the larch has a tonal harmonic vibrational frequency which resonates with your confidence, with your consciousness, and vibrates in the vibration of confidence. Let me give an example. There's a medical doctor that was studying with me back in the late 80s, or no, early 80s, 81. And she told me that she hated giving public speeches. She called me over to her house one night. She says, "I got to tell you what happened." She said, I gave a speech tonight that I was asked to give at her medical place where she worked. And she said, "I got a standing ovation." So I can't believe it. I hate giving speeches. I've never been able to do it my whole life. She said, what she did, she got up in the morning, started taking larch, and she took larch all day long. She said by the end of the evening, she had lots and lots of confidence. That's how the remedies work. I had a guy in L.A., hated giving speeches. He was forced to do it in his law school. And he called me from his car, and he was pounding on the top of the car and screaming, driving home. He said because he gave a public speech in front of all these attorneys in L.A., hundreds of attorneys. They loved it so much, they gave him a standing ovation. He said, "Do you think that was large?" I was kidding. I said, "Dude, I said it was. It was, man," because he had no confidence. He'd been on it, I think, for something like that. This guy also had the worst, he had migraine, he had back pain. I did massage on him. I gave him the flower essences. He's the most impatient man I ever met. One of the most workaholic men I ever met. In a courtroom litigating, fighting, "I'm going to knock your teeth out, attorney." And it spooked you out being in the room with him. He was so intense. At the end of 8 months, he was a laid-back California guy. He's no longer impatient. Now, that is called a thorough constitutional transformation. One of the things I show you how to do in the course, that's where you take the deepest acting negative character defect in the personality, and you change that over to the virtue. So he was like the most impatient man that I probably have ever met. At the end of 8 months, he's like no longer impatient. I met him. Of course, his migraines were gone. His back pain was gone. And I met him in the health food store about 2 years later. He introduced me to his new wife. I took her aside. I said, "Listen," I said, "is he impatient?" She said, "No." I said, "Is he dominating?" "No," because I'm giving him remedies for being dominated, which is what we're going to get into tonight. And I said, is he a migraines?" "No." I said, "Is he an intense workaholic guy?" She said, "No." He had gotten a job shuffling papers, looking over contracts for a company, and he's a happy, laid-back guy. And that's called a thorough constitutional transformation. In the course, I'll show you how to do that. First of all, do it on you, and then you learn how to do it with other people. Everything begins with peace of mind. Let me read you another poem here. If you could only touch yourself, this poem I wrote a few days ago. If you could only touch yourself, to really understand the lessons of your heart. If you could only sense the breathing of the desert plants, the movement of the earth, the your feet. The shadows of the hidden moon, the struggle between who I am and who I want to be. If you could only feel the turning of the sun, the secret issues buried deep within the chambers of the heart. If you could only feel the desert wind, touch the darkened embers of the night, and shadows spoken softly in the sacred temple of the heart. If you could only feel your deep emotion, if you could only know the ancient wonder of the soul. That's deep. Getting the sleeper. Future's all about the soul. Everything begins with peace of mind. If you don't have peace of mind, you have nothing. Napoleon Hill, who's a advisor to two presidents, and you probably remember, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. He was the one who coined that, helping people get out of the depression, gave it to Roosevelt. He said that he had met the 500 wealthiest, richest, most successful men in the United States, including Henry Ford, all of the great men. And he said only three of them had peace of mind. Number one, John Burroughs, the great naturalist. Number two, Thomas Edison, who was relaxed enough he could take a nap every day and just relax. And number three was Andrew Carnegie. He said all the rest of the men had no peace of mind. Everything begins with peace of mind. I'm the only one of the only people that you'll meet will tell you that I have peace of mind, and it's true. I live and breathe peace of mind, and I teach my students how to get that for themselves. And then further, everything begins with being happy. If you're not happy, you can't enjoy your life. You could have all the wealth. You could have a handsome husband or a beautiful wife. You could have cars and money and everything that people say you ought to have, houses, property. But if you're not happy, how are you going to enjoy it? How are you going to enjoy your life? You can be miserable. You have to live off of Prozac and all the alcohol you can drink, the pot you can smoke, and stuffing down cigarettes like it's going out of style. And I'm one of the few people who will tell you that I am happy. And that's one of the things I teach you in my course, is how that you can become happy. I'm healthy. I have peace in my heart. I have peace in my life. I have peace of mind. I'm healthy, I have no physical disease, I'm whole, I have no anxiety, I have no fears, no worries, no hurt. Not because I'm like some kind of Superman, or not because I'm like super wealthy or anything like that. It's because I don't carry that baggage anymore. That's what I'm encouraging you to do, is to heal yourself. You don't have to have lots of money to feel wealthy. You don't have to have lots of money to be healthy. What you have to do is heal yourself and the blocks and the denials that you have and work your issues through. One of the coolest things that I have is I have my life work. I'm in the Tao. I'm in God's plan for my life. And so that's why I have the peace of mind. And I have my life work. My life work is healing, teaching people healing through the remedies, the flower essences, and through my system that God has shown me through the years of helping people to heal and helping to learn to heal yourself and heal other people. Everything begins with peace of mind, not getting stuff, not attaining stuff, not attracting stuff. If you get those degrees and you're not happy, if you're able to work those jobs and pay those back bills doesn't get that money, and you're not happy, and you're miserable inside, and you're tortured and tormented, what good is it? Nobody's happy these days. It breaks my heart. No one has peace of mind. It breaks my heart. With my program, I teach you how to get there. If you're ready to receive it. You need to learn to work through your crap. How to have peace of mind. You got to work through stuff that's causing you to lose your peace of mind. You have to work through your baggage and your garbage and your issues and your junk and your stuff. That's how you get to peace of mind. I got another point for it. This I wrote a few days ago. Do you ever wonder who you are? Do you ever go into the secret chamber of your heart and feel the baggage that you carry in the stone, in the hidden caverns of your soul? Do you ever wonder what your life would be without the pain and all the chaos that you carry so deeply in your heart? Unspoken visions of your breath. Do you ever wonder who you really are? And at the hidden whispers of the greatness and the splendor of the person you are really meant to be. Deep, deep, deep. Napoleon Hill said, each person has one thing that they can do better than anyone else on earth. If you want to find out what that one thing is, take the wild oat remedy. The wild oat is to activate your purpose, mission, and calling upon. And you need to resolve your baggage, because your baggage are the blocks that are keeping you from finding your purpose. And you want to merge in with the Tao so that you can to be one with the divine plan. So you can flow into your real self and who you're meant to be. Let me read you another poem. This one's short, a couple days ago. I wrote that. 1,000 stars speak out to you, their voices singing of the joy of life. The galaxy behind the Milky Way. The voice of time and earth and self. The soft, sweet whispers of your soul. If you could only just let go. If you could only open up your heart. If you could only just relax and listen and receive. Okay. So now I want to talk about dominating people, because that's what we're going to be getting into, is 4 dominating remedies with the flower essences. Chicory, we're going to take up tonight. Very complex remedy. It's going to take a few weeks to go through that. Heather, vine, and the vervain. You can write those down. It's worth this information. It's worth its weight in gold. Dominating person. You can be, here's the message here. Listen to me. You can be strong. You can be powerful without being dominating and controlling. Let me give you an example. One of the most powerful men in current time, the strongest and most powerful men that walk the face of the earth in current time, was Norman Schwarzkopf, defeated the Iraqis. And you want to see something that'll just make your hair stand on end? Watch the Iraqi surrender. It was on an air base, Iraqi air base. They had colonels and majors with their aides with submachine guns strapped across their shoulders, and their pistols on their sides. They're mulling around, and the generals, and then up comes the Iraqi generals, and they got a helicopter on top, an attack helicopter on the right, and an attack helicopter on the left, escorting these jeeps down with the Iraqi generals. They go sit into in the tent, and Schwarzkopf looks at them and says, "I did not come here to listen to what your needs are. I came here to dictate to you the terms of the Iraqi surrenders." And the general said, "Hey, that's we're up for it, no problem." And Schwarzkopf told them what the terms of surrender was, and they signed the paper, and that was the end of the war. When Schwarzkopf came, I mean, if you can get a chance to see that, that'll make your hair stand on end with the power this man was wielding. When he came home, he was on the Barbara Walters show, and Barbara Walters said, "Your father," started talking about his father, who was a famous general and had won, I think he won the Congressional Medal of Honor, I'm not sure, I think he did, and was very famous. And he said, was talking about him, and Schwarzkopf began to cry. And these were exact words he said. She said, "I thought generals weren't supposed to cry." She said, "No, now come the tears." She said, "I thought generals weren't supposed to cry." And Schwarzkopf said, "No, that's not right." He said, "Lee cried at Appomattox. Grant wept at Appomattox. And Grant wept when he became president and was inaugurated." And he listed a few other generals that had cried publicly. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I wouldn't trust a man who doesn't cry." Because these were his exact words. "I wouldn't trust a man who doesn't cry. Because he's not a man. He can't feel. We need to learn to feel. We need to learn to go into our heart and open our heart. Domination, control of other people." Harry Truman said, "There is a lure in power. It can get into a man's blood, just as gambling and lust for money have been known to do. It's addictive." Now, here's another natural law, and you can write this down and take it to the bank. You can't get healed if you're under the influence of a suppressive person, which I would also say a suppressive church, a suppressive teacher, a suppressive wife or a suppressive husband, a suppressive minister, a suppressive university. You can't get healed if you're under the influence of a suppressive person. A suppressive person means they hold you down, they stifle you, they choke you, they take away your power, and they take away your healing. So once you begin to make a few headroads with the healing process, the suppressive person comes along and they take it away from you, so you will not get healed. You will not be able to connect the dots and understand what your soul is trying to tell you. They take that away from you. The suppressive person is a dominating person. Sucks your energy, takes your power. They put a taproot into you and drain the life force right out of you, sometimes day in and day out. A controlling person who is controlling you, this is an occult ritual. Feeding off somebody else's life force is an occult ritual, and it is wrong. And if a person does that, it's going to lead to disease. God will give you physical disease, physical pain, to let you know that you should stop being dominating and controlling of other people. And let go and quit controlling sometimes you have anger with these male remedies. I'll tell you what the male remedies are next week. We've been doing the female remedies for shielding and protection. These, now we're going into the male remedies. Is too tough, too strong. It's breaking God's laws by being dominated and controlling you. Elizabeth Clare Prophet, the great spiritual teacher, told me that this was called a core anger, this anger that we carry deep in our core. Most people have it. And in my course, I teach you how to do what's called a homeopathic drainage of anger. Let me give you an example. The meanest person I have ever met was an 8-year-old kid who was a child of my girlfriend when I was in Beverly Hills. I suggested that she give him flower essences, which she did. And at the end of 8 months, I remember visiting with her, and he came and he was giving us tea and he was bringing us cookies. And he was the sweetest child you have ever met in your entire life. Completely changed to the opposite. That is called a homeopathic drainage of anger, because he worked on the inner self. He worked all that anger through. And it's also called a thorough constitutional transformation. A thorough constitutional transformation is where you take the deepest acting negative character defects and switch that over to the positive, to the virtues. And that is a subject we'll be taking up as we go along, the homeopathic drainage of anger, the core anger that we carry. Now, domination means that you're pushing and trying to control things, but you're not flowing. You're not flowing with the Tao, with God's plan. You're pushing and trying to make things happen. My will be done instead of thy will be done. And there's nothing wrong with working hard, and there's nothing wrong with making things happen. But what happens is once you get into this thing of controlling everything, then you're going to step out of the Tao, and you can have physical disease come up because God's showing you to let go of the need to control things. You need to be able to flow. The most powerful man that I think ever walked the face of the earth, you know who that is? Think about it. Who would you think that would be? My feeling is that it is Mahatma Gandhi, who could just raise his finger and say anything. The entire nation of India would do whatever he told them. And as a result of him leading them into the path of nonviolence against the British Empire, they were able to defeat the strongest empire in the world without firing a shot. Now that's power. And Mahatma Gandhi was not a dominating person. He was not a controlling person. He was merged with the Tao. And if you want to amaze yourself, read a book or see the movie about Mahatma Gandhi, one of the greatest people who ever lived. And he was a devotee of an initiate of Paramahansa Yogananda, who was teaching him the science of spirituality. So dominating, one of the problems with dominating is that you're pushing. You're not flowing. And particularly, the first remedy we're going to take up is a person who is controlling, and they feel rejected easily. The three main things about the chikri is that chikri dominating. The second is they feel rejected easily. So when you're around them, you've got to walk on eggshells because they just, you know, feel like you're rejecting them. And they, the dominating, and their bossy. They're always the one in charge. So this woman, I had a student who told me, yeah, my mom's chikri. I go and see her every week. And one week I went there twice, and she met me at the door, and she said, why is it you never come to see me? I need you. You never come and see me. And he said, but Mom, I've been here twice this week. But she's a chikri girl. And she is always feeling rejected. And she is dominating, wants to control him. She's bossy, wants to be the boss. So that's the remedy we're going to take up. The chikri man, he calls his wife up, and he says, honey, we're going to have some hot intimacy tonight. you like you've never been loved before. I'm going to hold you, Mars. I'm longing to be with you. I need you. So he gets to the door, and she put on something really nice and smells real good with the perfume and looks really sharp, did her hair and everything. And he opens the door, and he looks at her and goes, "You're too fat. You need to lose some weight. Put on something different. You look awful in that outfit." Well, you think he's going to get lucky tonight? He crushed her. And Chicory does that. They're rejecting. They reject other people. I'm going to tell you a story of two Chicory people who are going to blow your mind. Let me read you another poem first. Get us more into the emotional. Because the healing, you do the healing. You can't do it through the intellectual. The intellectual is going to take you to the door, but you got to go in through the emotional, the ticket, the gateway to the healing of the inner self is the feelings. You put your feelings down, you're not going to get any healing. You're just going to have to go get on to Prozac. You know this blood moon? I don't know how many of you guys saw that. Well, I went out and stood there in the desert and saw it. Wrote a poem here. April 16th, I wrote this. When you're invisible, they do not see you. They do not hear you. When you voice your soul, your words fall limp into your arms and drop like liquid from your lips onto the desert sand. They do not listen, do not hear. Nor do they understand and really get the meaning of your voice. Why do you stand out here beneath the moon tonight, blood red, with its unspoken secrets, silent meanings, whispered out across the desert night? You want to be yourself, to discover who you really are, to be in your truth and speak your truth with who you really are in God. You try so hard to be true to you, to discover the real in you, the person you were meant to be, even as you stand among the cactus in the bush and feel the hidden voices of the timeless lunar wind. They barely listen as you speak. Rarely do they want to hear or dare to understand the meaning of your heart, yourself, and who you are inside. No birds, no wolves, nor owl or breeze, or whispers of a rabbit, or the cosmic movement of the snake. Everything. So still. Silent as the graves thrown out upon the battlefield. What is this moon of blood? This veil that spreads upon the earth. This veil upon your heart. If you do not know yourself, how can you ever speak your truth? If you swallow down the movement of your breath, the streams and fountains of the truth of who you really are, how will they ever listen, ever really hear, if you freeze and hold back the deeper feelings of your soul? In the silence and the darkness, this eclipse of heart and moon, and cosmic ancient flowing rivers of the desert night. Eclipse of soul and breath and heart, and the silent, timeless voices of a galaxy within my touch. Unspoken lessons, hidden meanings in the desert earth and sky tonight. This blood-red veil of moon and darkness creeps like a ghost across the earth. Gentle pulsing whispers of the galaxy and blood red cosmic murmurs So let's talk about the chicory. Mark wrote, "Our soul lays down for us our lives as he wishes them to be ordered. So long," this is from Heal Thyself, one of those books I want you to download. "So long as we do that particular work according to the dictates of our soul, all is well. The soul knows what environment and what circumstances will best enable us to do it, to do that. It is when our personalities are led astray from the path laid down by the soul, either by our own worldly desires or by the persuasion of others, that conflict arises. Disease is in itself beneficent and has for its object the bringing back of the personality to the divine will of the soul." So it's to get us back in line. It is obeying the commands of our soul, our higher self, that matters. And that I teach you in my school, how to listen to your soul and obey the commands of your higher self. Okay, let's go to chicory. Chicory is, first of all, criticism of others. Chicory is always busy criticizing. There's only two remedies of criticism. One is Beach, who's a critical person, who always got something critical to say. And chicory is a critical person, critical of others, discontent with others. And they reject you, always the oozing energy of rejection, dissatisfied with others, complains about others, wishing to correct. Interference by criticizing, so they're always putting people down, drawing blame onto you. The bony finger comes out and points at you. Willow does that. Chicory does that. They throw guilt to manipulate. So chicory can be a very manipulative person. Oh, these stories, I got to tell you these two cool stories. One is about a chicory woman who was bossy and dominating to her deputies. Mary Washington, George Washington's mother, was very dominating and controlling of him. And when he won the Battle of Cornwallis and defeated Cornwallis, the Battle of Yorktown, which was the last battle of the Revolutionary War, he was going to go back home to see his wife at Mount Vernon and stop on the way to see his mother. So he sent a couple of his officers to let Mom know that he's coming. They heard his exact words. The officer... the exact words were these: ma'am, His Excellency will be coming in a few days to visit you. Her exact words were, "His Excellency, what nonsense." She ran across and put down on him. God bless him. Well, and he took that his whole life. He went to see her in a dutiful some way, but he had to take that his whole life. They got back at her when she died. When she passed away, of course, he inherited all the property and slaves and all the different stuff. Well, he buried her there on the property, but he never put a headstone, a gravestone marking, never. And for about 10, 15 years, people knew where the grave was, and then after that, they forgot, and he never put it on, so he got back at her. He was a dutiful son until she died. So I'll tell you one more dominating, bossy person. When Harry Truman, I'm reading the book called, if you ever want to read it, man, this thing is good. It won the Pulitzer Prize, called Truman, on the Audible. It is 50 hours long. Won the Pulitzer Prize. It was by McCullough. It's a hot, one of the hottest books I think I've ever read. God bless Harry Truman. Well, when he married his wife, Bess, they had to move in with the mother-in-law. Mother-in-law was a chicory person, dominating and bossy and feels rejected easily, and was busy dominating Harry Truman and telling everybody Harry Truman wasn't good enough for his daughter Beth. So he becomes a judge, then becomes a senator, then becomes vice president, then he's president, and he has his mother-in-law move into the White House. And then later on, toward the end of his presidency, I think the last year of his presidency, she's on her deathbed in the White House, in her own room, and she's telling all of the servants and all the people she comes in contact with, the nurses and the doctors, that Harry Truman is really beneath her daughter's station. He's not worthy enough, not good enough for her daughter. Blowing everybody away. And, of course, he has to take it and be nice to her. And then when he fired MacArthur, she went on and on and on about how can this little pipsqueak, who's just a captain in the Army Reserve, fire a five-star general. He should be ashamed of himself. So he had to put up with this woman putting him down until she passed away, God bless him. So I thought that was an interesting story. And then to deal with someone who's a chick person. A chick is possessive. The little kid says, oh, these are my toys. You don't get to play with my toys. These are mine. A man will be possessive of his wife. Whoever they care and they love, they want that person to be close to them. And they have ambitions to possess. So if you're dating a chick man, he's gonna want to own you just because they're possessive. Heather's possessive. Particularly possessive, but truly possessive. Expectations, they're going to place these expectations, unrealistic expectations on them. Fear of losing friends. Well, they're afraid of losing friends because they're, they have a reason. The beings are so dominating, pushy and bossy on everybody. Greedy for others. This is greed, remedy. Greedy for others' possessions, sympathies, and greedy for other people's power. This remedy is for greed. Desires attention. Now, this is one of the things they say, oh, he just wants attention. Well, no, that's chicory. Only two remedies want attention. Chicory wants attention, and Heather wants attention. They crave it. They love it. They like to be the center of attention. As long as they're the center of attention, they're happy. And they desire sympathy. Oh, look at me. Nobody loves me. I think I'll go eat worms. They like to play on everybody's sympathy. They like to manipulate you. Playing on your sympathy. You always want sympathy. What they really want is love, but they don't know how to get it. They're toxic. They're toxic with this emotional pain. They've been hurt a lot. They've been slapped around a lot in their life. And then they become, mean. If you take a dog and you beat him, he's going to get mean. Sometimes they're very needy. This is can be a needy remedy. No matter what he has, he never has enough. Always wanting more. Sometimes they're clingy and they're hanging on. They just like they're really, really clingy. You feel this clingy, needy energy when they're with. Just like being alone. This is one of the remedies about being alone. You got issues with being alone. It can be dickery, it can be heather, it can be agrimony, or it can be mimless. So write those down. Chicory, heather, agrimony, mimless. A woman that had the worst issues being alone, I think we worked together 8 months. And she had no issues with being alone after that, as long as I knew her, which was years. And she had healed it. Because she had worked it through on the inner self. Of course, I gave her those remedies too. Desires company, because they don't want to be alone. Listen to this one. Invokes illness to obtain sympathy from others. So this is a person that uses their disease or uses their illness just to get sympathy from other people. One of the reasons people have disease in the first place is because it's a way they use to get sympathy and attention from other people. Just think about it. You go to the doctor, they're fawning over you, they're taking your blood pressure, checking your heart, they're doing all. It might be the only attention this woman ever gets. I had a woman tell me the only time her husband pays any attention to her is when she tells him how much pain that she's in. And then he gives her attention. So people can actually use disease in order to manipulate and get attention. And a lot of the disease and suffering people love their disease. Most people don't want to heal. They get a lot of mileage out of it. Okay, I'll tell you this joke another time. People getting mileage out of disease. Wish for sympathy. So they're after sympathy. Now we get to bossy. They're dominating by nature, but they're bossy. They always want to be the boss. The little kid, he's the main kid. He tells everybody what to do. You come over here, you go there. We're going here, we're going there. You got a group, it's lunchtime, they go. The bossy person stands up and goes, let's go eat Chinese food. And you go, I don't know, come come on, let's go. I know a good place. Come on, come on. And they boss everybody around, push everybody around. Everybody goes and eats the Chinese food. They get them. He's leading everybody. He boss everybody. Wants to be the boss. Well, you know, it's going to cause you stress. It's going to cause you pain. It's going to cause you tension. It may even cause you disease if you, inside of you, have to be the boss all the time and take control of other people and manipulate and dominate them. Particularly as a manipulating person. They're throwing the little kid. You've been in the store and you see a kid just throwing, he wants some, you know, like a lollipop or something, some candy or something mother didn't really get. He throws a tantrum. He's laying on the floor screaming and yelling and embarrassing the heck out of the mother because he knows. If he throws enough of a tantrum, he's going to manipulate that mother into giving him the candy. That's secret. I like being in charge. Very strong will. Very strong. Strict with others. When I yell at you, it's because I love you. I'm just trying to help you. They're very strict, bossy. Strict people with other people. Directs the affairs of other people. They like to tell people what to do. He likes to tell everybody else what to do. Sometimes he will even withhold love, and you don't know what he wants you to do. He certainly knows how to make you feel guilty. Student said that one time. Directs the affairs of others, and they're very overbearing. They're going to come in and take over and be overbearing with you. And fussy cannot surrender his control or will. They can't flow. They have to be in charge. They can't flow. And they ooze rejection, and they're very manipulating. Do what I want you to do, or I'm going to put you through the yo-yo. And they shame other people. This is one of the remedies for shaming other people. And they can feel guilty. They point the bony finger at you. Shame on you. Look what you're doing. And that's an energy thief. We talked about with the SAF organ number 13, the adrenals. An energy thief, someone is stealing your energy by throwing blame and shame onto you so they can suck your energy, feed off of you like a leech in the vampire, and then dump on you, dump their negative energy on you. Feels rejected easily. You don't love me. You don't understand me. You don't care about me because if you loved me, you'd do this and that. I feel unloved. Left out and alienated. So they just go around feeling rejected, and you got to walk on eggshells. You can't say what you feel around it. If you open your mouth, say anything. They're going to feel easily hurt. And write that one down and take it to the bank. If you're rejected, they feel easily hurt. They're always being hurt. You're hurting my feelings. Everything hurts my feelings. How can you do this to me? It puts you down, and you feel sorry for him. In the same sentence. So there's a self-pity where they spend a lot of time whining and complaining. Poor me. Poor me. So let me stop here. I got one more poem to read, and we're going to pick up Chicory next week. And if you get that book, The 12 Healers and Other Remedies, you can read about the Chicory. Because it's in there, description, Dr. Bach's description of the chicory. It's in there. What I'm taking into is an advanced understanding of the chicory. This last poem I wrote a few days ago called Listen. Those who do not listen, they do not hear, no matter how you scream across the desert night. They do not listen as you stretch again to speak your voice. The midnight storm is coming. You can feel it in your breath. It tasted in your touch and sensed the wetness of a thousand years. The joy and ecstasy of all the little desert plants who will be fed tonight with living water of the earth and endless breath of God. How do you ever fix and heal and deal with someone who is stone and closed to listen to your voice? Someone who will disregard your heart, pay no attention to your words, the earnest meaning lying just behind your breath. as you step into the desert night and feel the earth and sky around your heart. It's time to stop and breathe and let yourself be still. My question, do you listen to yourself? As I prepared this program tonight, another rattlesnake crawled up and sat about 7 feet from me for about 2 hours in my meditation, throwing power to me. And I thanked God for the magical wonder of the desert. So let's stop here. Thanks for coming and letting me into your home and sharing with me, healing the heart. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you next week. Bye.
Healing the Heart with Dr. Eric Love can be heard every Sunday night here on the BBS Radio Network at 6 p.m. PST and 9 p.m. Eastern on Station 1. Please visit his website at www.drericlove.com or call him at 406-585-0774. Thank you for listening.